Join me this evening in Proverbs chapter 5. I've said this before, I just want to say it again. This is the adult service, and I always want to throw that out there, because we deal with adult content, because the Word of God does. And there is a great advantage, I believe, of going through the Scriptures verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I think we get a full meal as a church family. It prevents me from picking and choosing. But just on occasion, you have chapters like this that are just some of those chapters that are a little awkward in a mixed group. But you know what? Not awkward enough that it wasn't in the Bible. God put it here. So let's make this our study tonight. And there's some wisdom here. Don't want to just look at this in a humorous way. There is some unbelievable wisdom here. So Father, in light of that, I do pray you'd open up our eyes to your word tonight. Help us to see things, Lord. And I do pray for everybody in this room, myself included, that we would look at this honestly. Where do we fit in this great warning to avoid the temptations of this world? And can we, with humility and honesty, acknowledge, you're right, Lord, you know best. So I do pray you'd move, and I do pray you'd speak to hearts in this room. And may we learn more about you as a result of it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, he begins this chapter. This is Solomon, if you're new to this. King Solomon writing at least the first 8 chapters specifically to his kids. It seems like there's a son in his house that's about to leave the house. And he's leaving him with some pretty serious instruction. So you got a parent-child relationship going on here. And he says this in verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. Okay, you're familiar with that kind of talk at this point, right? As we're studying this, he says this kind of stuff a lot. But a quick reminder, if a father is saying, you need to listen to me in this area, son, you've got to pay attention, obviously that ought to highlight the advice that he's about to give, right? If a dad's pleading with a son, pay attention on this one. There's going to be a test. You gotta pass this one, kid. That ought to have our attention, okay? And not just the father and son, brothers and sisters, but the Holy Spirit inspired this. The Holy Spirit ultimately is saying through his book, pay attention, don't miss this one. He's got my attention, I hope he's got yours. Verse 2, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Okay, let me tell you up front, the content tonight is sexual in nature. Okay, he's about to give his boy some very good instruction on how to avoid sexual sin and sexual disaster. It's an appropriate subject between father and son. It's an appropriate subject for our world today, guys. And I'll share some statistics before this study is over. Some stuff to really consider. But in light of that, and I wanted to cut to the chase, he says you need to highly regard discretion. Okay, in the context of sex and sexual sin, okay, what is discretion? Understand, discretion is exactly, exactly the opposite of being impulsive, okay? That's usually the problem, isn't it? That we act on impulse. There's an itch, I gotta scratch it. And there's no forethought, there's no consideration of future consequences, disaster, broken homes, kids without parents. None of that is considered. It's just impulsive. I want it. It'll bring me pleasure. And the deed is done. We are, as God's people, I hope you know, to play by different rules, guys. We're part of a different kingdom than the crazy kingdom that's out there in this world. And we are to regard discretion. Would you just think about that first and foremost? To regard self-control. To highly respect the ability to not act on what you might feel inside. We're supposed to be governed by something bigger than our emotions, something greater, and specifically someone greater. Okay, you'll remember this, right? This is a good one to remember, something that stuck with me as a young 19-year-old. Something my pastor taught me. He said, Aaron, if you want to do what's right, always do the second thing that comes to mind. Think about that. It's true. You really think about that, because when I first heard it, I'm like, come on, that's goofy. But the more I live for God, the more I started to grow up, I realized, man, that is so on the money. The first thing that is instinctive is, you know, for example, as a man, you see a young man who is disrespectful or lazy or mouthy. The first reaction from a man's perspective, and maybe even a female's, is he needs a beating. Isn't that the truth? There's so many people you work with on the job site, and they're so disrespectful. Ladies will come on the job site, and their language doesn't change at all. Or little kids, and they're still dropping the bomb verbally. And the first reaction as a man is like, crush him! You know what I mean? Hit him with something big, you know? There you go. If you want to do what's right, you do the second thing that comes to mind, which is just pull him aside and yell at him, right? Or whatever that might be. I'm telling you, that's discretion, guys, not acting on impulse, but withdrawing. Saying, all right, let me consider this. Let me do the right thing. Probably a beating won't help anything. And maybe he'll beat me back. That's something to consider. Something to think about. However, keeping this in the context of sexual promiscuity, the second thing that comes to mind, as a married man in particular, much smarter. Think about it. In your lips, to keep knowledge, hold on to the things that you've learned. Here it is. Ready? Verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman. Okay? Some of your newer translations say immoral woman. Well, we're talking about the oldest trade, no demand. Okay? You're with me. I know there's younger ears. You're with me. For the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword, and her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Guys, consider that. The lips of this strange woman, you know, drop as honeycomb. Okay, the lips. Obviously, as you study this whole romantic world that is so much a part of life on earth, there are certain features about a lady that have been taken note of by men over the history of mankind. A long, slender neck, for example, small feet, you know, lips, you know, and we'll get into some more specifics as we read on. You know, it is the perversion of man to take those features on a woman and to exaggerate them, because when there is perversion, there is no satisfaction. And you guys know that that's why in what we call primitive people groups, people that are not part of the general society, they have attempted things with those certain features to exaggerate them. For example, putting a disc in the lips of the ladies of a certain tribe to make those lips appear larger and fuller. Or putting discs on the neck of a lady to stretch that thing out greater and more exaggerated than it should be. It's the perversion of man. And the poor ladies, well, how about stuffing little ladies' feet in children's shoes and keeping them there until they're 50 years old, and their feet are horribly deformed and they never grow because small feet are attractive. Isn't it sad what the pig men of this world have done to women? It's sick. And those primitive people groups, we're not like that in America, are we? We don't put metal discs in lips and, you know, metal rings. But what we do it all with silicone, don't we? We do it all with plastic. We're just as primitive and perverted as those people that have never walked on an asphalt sidewalk, truthfully. Yeah, I pray you consider it. We are unable to satisfy this craze. And here's the truth, and Solomon's got some wisdom. God's got some wisdom. It might seem sweet. There might be things that are so flattering about her words, and it might seem like everything is just perfect. But the truth is, you go in that direction, brother. Her end is as bitter as wormwood. What's wormwood? Well, the concordance will tell you it's hemlock. I think hemlock's pretty good, has its uses. I think hemlock's got a bad rap in the Bible. But anyway, the whole idea is that it's cursed. That's the idea, that it's a poisonous thing. And if you go in that direction, you can expect that. It's poison, right? Have you ever met a young lady like that? Poison. Pretty on the outside, not so pretty on the inside. That's what's being described here. Sharp as a two-edged sword. She cuts. You mess around and you get cut. You get hurt. That's what Solomon's saying to his boy. And there's an eternal consequence that is never considered. And it's this. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. See, I've said this before. I want to put this in your mind. When the passion is the hottest, what's the next part? Our vision is the shortest. Now, that's true about sex, certainly. But it's true about every area of sin in our life, guys. When, you know, things are cranked up on 10, that is when your vision is just absolutely short. You can't see past your nose because all you can think about is the immediate gratification. And that's when you reject everybody's good counsel. Don't do it. I'm telling you. Trust me. I've been there. What are you new, you crusty old man? Well, I'm telling you. I hear this tone in Solomon with his boy. Don't go that way. And can Solomon speak from experience? Could he speak from experience? We're talking about a man who had 1,000 women in his life. 1,000. And he is telling his son, it's a big mistake. Don't do it. Yeah, some kids would say, how can you talk to me? How can you talk to me in light of your past and what you've done? Well, if they just stop and think about it, that is more of a qualification to tell and instruct. Because they've done it, because they've been there, they are more qualified to tell us that's a bad idea. Now, I've said to teens a lot in the past decade, there is this really weird attraction, and there always has been. You can go all the way back to the 50s with the Leader of the Pack song. Remember it? Some of you guys remember. There's always been this weird attraction with the bad boy, right, among young ladies. There's a weird attraction with the punk who has no respect for authority. He has no respect or regard for anybody. And for some reason, some young ladies think, bad boy's so cute. I don't know what it is. But I do believe, and I wish it could happen, if we would interview all those ladies who married the bad boy and realize the same disrespect he had for his parents, the same disregard he had for everybody around him, as soon as I was married, was turned on me. His violence, his aggression was turned on me. And if you interviewed all those ladies who married the bad boy, they'd say, that is not the way to go about that. Truthfully, I got my own story. I have my own wife that would attest to that truth. It's thank God for the grace of God and thank God for restoration and Jesus get involved in my personal marriage. But I'll tell you what, without Jesus, it was doomed. It was doomed fast. Consider it. There's an eternal consequence to this sin. Not just immediate, but there's an eternal consequence. I love the Lord and the way he does sex ed, don't you? It is much more to the point, and it is a lot less dealing with what is safe and what isn't. Let me just say this, okay? And just trust me, I'm not going to be completely disrespectful. But, you know, a thin layer of latex will in no way prevent the fiery judgment of God. You know what I'm saying? How in the world is that going to keep God from judging an individual? I'm talking about eternally. Does God have forgiveness? Yes. Does God want to forgive and show grace? Absolutely. But I'm talking the blatant disregard for our Creator. I'm going to do it my way. And dying in that state, there is no such thing as safe sin. It doesn't exist. It's all lethal. Yeah, it's very important. And that's what Solomon is saying. This is a bad direction. It will cost you. Verse 6. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. What he's saying is, listen, next time you take a minute and think about life, my son, realize that that direction is unstable. There is no stability in it. There's nothing concrete. There's nothing predictable. We think we're in control, don't we, guys? We want to think we're in control, especially when we're pursuing sin. But let me give you a quick, very quick personal testimony. I grew up in a Baptist church. I grew up in Baptist churches. This isn't to say anything against Baptist people, but the particular churches that I grew up in were very rigid and That's just the bottom line. And in the particular circles that I was a part of, cigarette smokers were the worst people on earth. They really were. I mean, if you smoked a cigarette, that's it. You sealed your eternity. But I can't tell you how many times, just hypocritical. I mean, lifestyles that in my mind are a lot more destructive than that. I don't think it's the best way to spend your money. I think God wants better for you. But it's a cigarette. You know, I don't think a cigarette will take you to hell. You might smell like you've been there, but it won't take you to hell. Pray God. I used to smoke. I'm thankful that God gave me victory over it. I really am thankful. And he can give you victory over that if that's a struggle. But goodness gracious, there's bigger fish to fry as far as I'm concerned. But because I had that perspective at age 13 years old, I smoked my first cigarette. My brother and I found a pack of Camels on the side of the road. I know that's usually the excuse you give your mom when she catches you, but we really did. Found a pack of Camels on the side of the road, lit it up, and I really had this mindset, that's it. I've crossed the line. God can never forgive me. And so from that point on, I just pursued a life of sin. And I'm not going to give you all the details tonight because it's not about me and what I've been through, but I really remember very distinctly at 18, 5 years later, at 18, I'm in a Hardee's restaurant in Virginia, running from the law, and some things in my life were really, really out of control. I'm going to speak as general as possible. And to the point where I was physically sick because of the guilt in my life. And I was in the bathroom of Hardee's getting rid of my chicken sandwich. Okay? And I'm not kidding you, like a miracle. God put in my mind that first cigarette at age 13, and he literally, it was like he was showing me, you see, Aaron, because I thought I was in control. I'm Aaron Dudley. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm not out of control. I can ease back when I want, or I can run if I want, whatever. I'm in control of my life. And for the first time, I really realized I am not in control of my life. As soon as I yielded to sin, it's like it grabbed me by the throat and just ripped me through life. And all this stuff is happening around me, and I was like a rag doll. And the Lord showed me that. I ignored him for another year or so. But that's what this is saying. If you head down that path, it is unstable. There's nothing consistent. And you're not in control at all if you are a slave to sin. Hear me now, therefore, verse 7 says, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. It's really good advice. I pray everybody in this room considers it. Make no provision for the flesh. Here's what this is saying, guys. It's not how close to the edge we can play. It's how far from the edge we can stay. That's Christianity. And too many Christians, too many people that I love, think that we can get this close to the edge and still be okay with God. Why play that game? And isn't that a reflection, truthfully, of where your heart is at? If you want to play right up close to the edge, doesn't that really indicate you're not really concerned about love for God? You're not really concerned about his feelings, his heart that you're breaking as you disregard his commandments and disregard his will for your life? This is really good advice. You'll never get in trouble, brothers and sisters, if you stay far away from her house. Don't even go near her door. That's the way I try to play. I'm not perfect. I'm certainly not holding myself as the standard. But I certainly have checks and balances in my life because I am intimidated by Aaron Dudley. I know me. And I won't give myself the opportunity. I think it's wise. I've seen that is great advice in my life. Verse 9. Lest you disregard this, Solomon says. Here's the end result. You're going to give your honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Let strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Okay, a couple things on this. Here's what you need to consider, Solomon says, the Lord says. First of all, if you go in this direction, you are going to sacrifice your honor, your public testimony, your reputation. I hope that is important to you. And if it's not important to you, then there's worst things that I suppose you got to deal with. But if your reputation and your honor is important to you, understand that is the easiest way to sacrifice it, to shipwreck it, by going off into a sinful lifestyle of sexual sin. Not only that, not only your honor, but your life, your years. Your years will be cut short or be given to the cruel. You got some cruel years ahead of you, is what this is saying, if you head in this direction. Strangers being filled with thy wealth. Now, how does that apply in this area? Guys, think about alimony, child support. Think about what we call in America hush money. A lot of politicians. I don't know if there's any politician we can trust, any of them. They're all corrupt as far as I'm concerned. This year I am voting for Jesus again. I think it's the only hope for America. Come back, Jesus, and set the record straight, because I don't trust anybody I see on TV, not one of them. But you know, this hush money thing we see in our country. Guys with money will live these unbelievably dark lifestyles behind the closet, and sometimes people find out and they tell this individual, and it's all over our country. CEOs, politicians, athletes, pastors, they're all paying out the nose just to keep somebody quiet because they found out. Isn't that sick? That's what this is talking about, guys. You go in this direction, financially, it's going to cost you as you pay a stepdad to watch your kids because you're not allowed to anymore. Or you pay somebody to keep quiet. Please, I don't want it exposed. Or on and on it goes. You're paying medical bills. You're giving your wealth to strangers. All that you worked for is ripped away from you because you couldn't say no to your flesh. Think about it. It's the world we live in. The Bible is right on the money. Then it says here in verse 11, and thou mourn at the last, you will cry in the end, the Bible says. There might be moments of pleasure. The Bible acknowledges that. You will mourn at the end because your flesh and your body will be consumed. Definitely dealing with the STD issue. Guys, I want you to consider some statistics, okay? Thousands of people every year die in this country because of drug overdose. You know that? Thousands of people drink themselves to death, shoot themselves up to death, snort themselves to death, or smoke themselves to death in our country. Thousands. And because of that, and rightfully so, don't misunderstand me, we have deemed drugs in this country illegal. It's compassionate that we would make it illegal. It's an attempt to preserve life. Imagine if it was just allowed, rampant, the death toll would rise, right? And just the compassion and the love for humanity would cause something that is so destructive long term, it's illegal. Now consider this. Sex, okay? Do you realize that based on abortions, sexually transmitted diseases, suicide directly connected to a sexual relationship that went bad, because by the way, you cannot be involved with somebody sexual without your heart being involved. That's the way God designed it. It's because it's meant for marriage. And as soon as you give yourself sexually, your heart is in it, period. And by the way, it's in it forever. You will always, even if you're in a marriage, you'll always have to deny those things that are rattling around in your heart. And because of that, suicide is huge in our country because of a relationship that was impure, went south, and somebody falls into depression. And then the one more statistic, homicide. A jealous or angry person who's been the victim of unfaithfulness. You look at those four things, abortion, STDs, suicide, and homicide. Sex is the number one killer in this country. Millions a year die because of sexual sin. You know what's crazy to me? It's not illegal. It's not illegal. It's in fact, it's even encouraged to our little kids in kindergarten as they bring pieces of fruit into the classroom and show them how to do it safe. Is something messed up with that? I think there is. I think there's something real messed up with that. And even, this is the saddest part, the statistics that are out there in the world are the same among Christian teens. Why? Because there ain't no Christian teens, or let me say it this way, because that's not fair. There's not many Christian teens that are willing to do the radical things that you need to in this country to keep themselves pure. That Bible's old-fashioned. What does it know? Parents are old-fashioned. What do they know? I'm telling you, this is a a killer. And we play with it. We watch it on TV. We act like it's no big deal. It's America. Well, I would just beg us, and that's the only way I can say it, to rethink this whole thing. Everybody in the room, parents and young people alike, we need to really take a look at this and say, all right, what is going on? What's our role? Maybe we need to make some louder statements. Something to think about. Verse 12. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. What's being described in verse 12 and 13 is the regret after the crash and burn. Because it's always there. We disregard everybody who loves us and tries to warn us. We do it anyway. There's the big crash and burn. And then always there's the, why didn't I listen? I've been there. I've gone weeks going, why didn't I listen? I'm so stupid. And God says, that's a pretty typical reaction. Verse 14, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. I was almost consumed by this. I believe that's Solomon saying this to his boy. Listen, I'm telling you, this almost killed me. Consider it. All right, now there's some good instruction. There's the bad stuff. The negative's out of the way. Don't go after somebody who's not your wife. Be faithful to your wife. And now he's going to give some instruction to really married people. This is where it kind of gets embarrassing. Brace yourself. Here we go. Verse 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. What Solomon very simply saying is get your needs met at home, okay? Get your needs met at home. You know, get your satisfaction from your own wife. And don't be out there pursuing strangers, because it's costly. That's instruction to married people. Then it says this in verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Okay, we're not going to stay young, are we? Those of us who've been married, we don't stay young. I've said this before, and I want to remind us of this. You know, God made the male mind in the most intriguing way. He made the male mind with a capacity to never forget naked images, okay? Hopefully, naked image. It's true. And any man in this room, if he's honest, will say, yeah, there's things that you might have looked at when you were a 12-year-old boy. It's still in there. There's file cabinets you can't open. God designed the male mind. As soon as those eyes see that figure, I really wish my wife was in this room. It would be less awkward. At least I could look at her. You know, God made the man a certain way. You know. Anyway, guys, you know why he designed us that way? Because when we get old and things change, when that marriage, which is supposed to go on into our old age, I can always, if I did it right, remember that beautiful lady when I first met her. Isn't that a cool thing? God designed man that way. But because of sin, the whole thing goes awry. The whole thing gets messed up. But we can remember the wife of our youth. Y'all with me? That's as far as I'm going to go with that. I don't need to add details and talk about when it's good to remember that wife. Right? Okay. Hee hee. But it's good. It's a choice. Okay. Verse 19. This is my favorite one. Let her be as the loving hind and a pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times. That's not a difficult commandment. There's some tough ones. That's not so bad if you're a married guy. And be thou ravished always with her love. Okay, there's that verse. You know, that verse is better on a Saturday morning with just brothers. See, brothers, what you're missing? We can actually deal with that. But it's pretty obvious what it's saying. Verse 20. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? You got everything you need. Why in the world would you go outside of that? Here's a thing, guys, that's important. Contentment. You know what's true? the grass is never greener on the other side, is it? It looks like it. It never is. Because the grass that looks so green doesn't tell you about the wreckage, about the crying kids. I think about that all the time. And please don't think whatever you want, I guess. But I don't want you to think that your pastor is some, you know, ticking time bomb. I don't think I am. I love my wife. I got a great marriage. And we have a friendship. And it's spiritual. It's not just physical. That's important. But because I'm a man, there are times in my life where I think about those faces of those three boys. Do you know what I mean? I think about those three sons of mine, and because I've been a pastor and because I've had to counsel families that are torn apart, and I've watched a daddy say to his kids, guess what? And just to see the face. I'm thankful for the role that God has put me in ministry, because I get to see the devastation of sin. And it's common that I get to see that. And it's a constant reminder to me, you see, Aaron, that's how it ends. That's how it ends. With a kid going, no, this can't happen. This is not going to happen. And that'll get you through some tough times, some temptation, just to remember. It's not about me. It's about vows that I made. It's about those kids. It's about the glory of God. I pray you consider all that. It's not about us, guys, and our thrill. I think some people really look at God that way, that God just wants to ruin my good time. Does this sound like a good time? The end result is not a good time. That's why God says, thou shalt not in this area, because he knows the end result. Yeah, the fact that he says, be ravished with the breasts of your wife. You know, have fun. Be blessed with your wife. The fact that he says that obviously implies it's a good thing, sex, in the right context. He invented it. He wants us to have that in a marriage relationship. God's not against that. Tragically, church has made this subject taboo. It shouldn't be. Something God invented. Isn't it an amazing thing? We're all big in this room. It really is an amazing thing. God did a glorious thing. Really wish my wife was in this room. Verse 21, and we'll wrap this up. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. See, that's the best advice right there. Okay, the STDs, the devastation, the alimony, the child support, the lawsuits, the dead children. All that is very legitimate. But all that, brothers and sisters, are consequences here on earth. It's a good deterrent, I believe. You know what they never tell you in the public schools when they do sex education or sex awareness or AIDS awareness? You know what never comes up? God's watching your life. And he's the one you got to stand before. There's a purity and a holiness issue that just isn't addressed from the world's perspective ever. And that's the most important thing, I believe. The most important thing is you are never getting away with anything. You're never alone. God's watching. And I believe he's crying, personally. I believe as his eyes watch his own children disregard the Bible and fill their flesh, I believe those eyes are wet. I really do. Because he knows what's coming. He knows the heartache that's right around the corner. Verse 22, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. Yeah, God's certainly punishes. God certainly allows consequences to take place. But you know, ultimately, if we go in this direction, it's our own sin that's going to punish us. We can't blame it on God. I've seen that a lot. Big crash and burn, and all of a sudden you're mad at God. And the whole time God's saying, I told you to stay away from this altogether. Why are you mad at me? I wanted to spare you from this, remember? God's got a bad rap. He's always on the hot seat. Verse 23, and the last one we'll read tonight, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Well, guys, that's a pretty black and white chapter. It deals with something on the chin. I'm thankful for that. Last thing I'll say is, what are you going to do about it? You know, I know I'm determined to spend time with youth in this community, junior high, high school, and do whatever I can to instruct them specifically in this area. You know, I've done that. I've, when I first came here. I shared at a youth conference locally and said some very black and white things that I really believe God was telling me to say. You know what? And I instantly gained some enemies. That's the first 6 months I lived here. Instantly, I gained a reputation of just being insensitive. But I don't apologize for it because I believe people need to hear things black and white. I really do. Someone's got to tell them. Someone's got to take a stand and let these poor kids know you can't flirt with this stuff. You can't mess with it. You know, it's crazy. One more thing I would say in light of messing with this issue. There's a mindset that the only thing that's really sin is the actual act of intercourse. You know, that's dumb. I don't know how else to say. That's a really dumb thought. Because that isn't the only problem. Everything that surrounds, every action that surrounds your heart being connected in that way is sin. It's meant for marriage. No one would get in a car and just rev it and start it up and just make the engine go up in RPMs. That's what you're doing. It's unwise. You're just one click away from that car taking off. And I think the same thing is true in relationships. Again, is it how far you can get to just completely blowing it, messing up? I think we're wise to remove ourselves from that altogether. I love doing weddings, and I've done them. I love doing weddings. I can't wait specifically to do Dave and Lacey Craven's wedding. I can't wait to be a part of that wedding because that's a young couple who haven't even kissed. Isn't that cool? They haven't even kissed. And Dave says, you know, I don't even know, Aaron, the color of her comforter. I don't even know what the walls of her bedroom look like. A couple people in their 20s. And man, they just want to honor God with their relationship. That's going to be a cool day to say, now you can kiss your bride. Then get out of the way. I don't know what's going to happen. But man, I think kids like that, listen, I have a past, and I'm thankful for God's forgiveness, and it's forgiven, it's gone. Please don't sit there in condemnation. I'm not trying to do that. But I do believe we need to exalt the ones that want to do it right, to hold them up as an example. I think that's important. Anyway, there's that. There's my talk tonight. Hope you're not all mad at me. It's in the book. Let's pray, and let's go out of here with a song tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to process this, Lord. And we all do have a part to play in this, Lord. It is such a huge issue, and we are such a sexual culture that it's very possible your very judgment will fall in this country because of it. But your people, Lord, are here now. We have an opportunity to speak out, to stand for what's right, and hopefully in the process spare lives even. So would you please help us to live a standard, Lord, that is above what we see as the norm, number one. And Lord, give us opportunities to bring your truth into all this, to challenge people's thinking, to up the standard. I do pray, Lord, that once again we would be a nation that is known for morality and not immorality. Speak to our hearts about this, Lord, and bless now our time to worship you. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.